Hello everybody, welcome back. I've been on holiday, but I am back now, so you can chill out on the top fives for, I don't know, a couple of days, I guess. But thank you guys for tuning in. There's been a hell of a lot of negativity around Manchester United at the moment, and I want to dig down into that a little bit and see if we can get to the bottom of what's going on. Is there actually a crisis at Manchester United, or is this all media hoopla? And then a bit of my thoughts, and then I'm going to come to you guys' questions as well. So if you've got some good questions, don't just give me like a player name and a question mark or who do you think we're signing or anything like that. Give me some intelligent questions and I'll read some of those questions out. But thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to like it, subscribe if you're new around here as well. And let's get into it. So someone's saying I'll be late. It was meant to start at 3. It's 3 o'clock. It started. So let's get into it then. So Mourinho, what's going on? Because there's good, there's bad. There's the media perception, and then there's the reality, isn't there? So let's talk about the good. When you're giving someone a shit sandwich, you always start with the good, don't you? Because it's definitely going to go into the bad. But let's start with the good. So Jose brought in some of the most exciting youngsters at United onto the tour. There's perhaps only Ethan Laird that could feel aggrieved at not being brought into the tour out of those with five-star potential in the under-18s. Now, he didn't need to do this. Certainly with the lack of striking options, he could have brought James Wilson, someone that's got league experience, someone that's got championship experience, someone that's actually made his full debut for United is a little bit older. Yes, there's his injury problems and things like that. But he chose to go with 16-year-old Mason Greenwood, who I don't think's had his GCSE results yet. That's a positive for me. It was a positive that he's took Angel. It's a positive that Chong has had a start when we've been over there. He's having a look at the likes of Roshan and that. We're going to get into the negative of what's happened with those, but for now, that's a positive for me. He's trusted those players. We also finished the season on 81 points, which is normally good enough to be in a title fight and sometimes good enough on several occasions to actually win the thing. It's our best post-Sir Alex Ferguson finish. We beat everybody in the league. Now, we beat Arsenal home and away. We beat Spurs, Chelsea and Liverpool at home. And we beat City away. We beat everybody in the league. Those that turned us over at some place, we turned them over elsewhere. If we drew with them, then we beat them in the second fixture. We've shown tactical flexibility. We've shown that we can win ugly. We've definitely shown that. We've shown that we could dominate games with possession, and we've shown that we can play on the counter and score every type of goal. Earlier in the season, we looked fantastic at set pieces. That kind of went away towards the back end of the season. We had a cup final. We could have picked up another trophy to add to the two that Jose Mourinho has already picked up. His win percentage is incomparable with what we saw with Moyes and Louis van Gaal. So why the calls for Jose to go? At times it was great, but others it was disappointing. Now the bad, there's absolutely bad. We lacked consistency. We lost the teams that we should have beat, and we drew with sides that we shouldn't have. That plus City having a 100-point season meant that we was well off the pace in the league. But the league's perhaps less disappointing than the Champions League exit. The Champions League exit to Sevilla, that 0-0 away was eerily reminiscent of the 2-0 defeat in Piraeus to Olympiacos under David Moyes. When you're looking at the pitch and the players and you're going, well, the pieces of the jigsaw are in place, but that team doesn't have a bloody clue what's going on. They have no idea. And that's the problem. At times, this Manchester United team looks like we don't know what to do. Now, I know Jose is a pragmatic manager and he looks after the opposition first. That's what he does. One thing I was excited for bringing in McKenna and Carrick is that they're going to bring something on the ball. Michael Carrick, very intelligent player on and off the ball. Kieran McKenna, obviously done bits with both Spurs and Manchester United at youth level. Very intrigued to see what he can do as an attacking manager with the first team. But it's the... Let me go back here a second. So, the 0-0 away was horrible. Like I said, it was reminiscent of what happened with Moyes. But the home game was potentially even worse. Paul Pogba was dropped and Fellaini was started in midfield. And the football was horrendous. Standing on the Stretford End that night, I did not think United was turning it over. I just absolutely lacked the confidence in a team. And I think that was a turning point for a lot of Reds, to be honest. We didn't feel like we'd get into the game at any point. So the season limped to a close. Obviously, the disappointment then of the FA Cup final, which was a horrendous performance. The trophies from previous seasons have been forgotten. What can Jose do now? So the World Cup was always going to stall recruitment. And I'm probably going to look at this in a video tomorrow. Three things that we learned on the tour. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about is the effect that the World Cup has had on this. It was always going to stall recruitment. But the lack of addressing obvious squad issues is a cause of huge frustration for fans. I think a lot of people are more interested in transfers than they are in football. I know it's a lot of people's favourite part of playing FIFA. It's certainly one of my favourite parts of getting a new team on Football Manager, go bananas in the transfer market. It's exciting, I get that. But it's secondary to the football and it's secondary to coaching, or it should be. But my frustration is the obvious issues that I see in the squad, the likes of Ashley Young looking at starting at left back for next season, is wrong. Manchester United should not be having Ashley Young. You can tell me you think he played all right, I'll disagree. You can tell me that you think he was adequate, I'll disagree. I think there's far better obvious options that are gettable for Manchester United that we've not looked at getting. And I think that's inexcusable for a club of Manchester United's size. We'll get onto Liverpool in a little bit, but Liverpool have gone out there and they've started to address in the last 18 months the issues that their squad has. They brought a little bit of stardust in the final third over the last year or so. At Christmas, they brought in Virgil van Dijk. That shored up a little bit of their defence. The keeper proved to be an absolute traffic cone in net. They replaced him. They've also bought a box-to-box midfielder. They're addressing what's going on there. Now, we can take the mickey out of Jurgen Klopp. We can laugh at him saying boom and being an aerobics instructor on the sideline. But whatever's going on behind the scenes there, Liverpool are out there addressing. I think that's got a lot of United fans scared. There has to be some perspective on this, though, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. Now, Jose's demeanour for us is hard to take. He's not tried once to endear himself to Manchester United fans. He's not tried once to build a connection with Manchester United fans. The one time he let his demeanour slip, the one time, was after the semi-final victory against Celta at home before we won the Europa League. When he grabbed hold of a scarf and he started twirling it round, and you could see what it meant for him to get a win like that and take us to a cup final. And that's the one time Jose Mourinho has done that. And that for me is a massive part of the job. Now, ultimately, yeah, it doesn't matter, really. It doesn't matter whether you're a Manchester United fan growing up and you get given the job. It doesn't matter if you're Jesse Lingard and you've grown up on the Stretford End and wearing United kits your entire life and you finally make it into the first team. It doesn't matter. But as fans, we buy into the romance of football clubs. That's why we sing songs that... Imagine standing at a Metrolink station on a Monday morning just singing songs with five of your mates. You'd be looked at and possibly questioned by the police. But it's accepted at football. We accept a lot of things that don't fit in with reality. And that's why we love the game. We fall in with the romance of it. Let us believe that there's romance in there. Let us believe that this is the job you always wanted. Let us believe that it's not a job to you, but it's a calling, it's your lifelong mission. It doesn't even feel like it's a job at the moment with Jose. It feels like it's community service for him. I've never seen someone as unhappy in his role as Jose Mourinho at the moment. And like, it means a lot to us, that denial delusion, if you like. But that's what we are as fans. We're romantic. That's why we sing songs like we sing. On the tour, Jose's come out and said some mad stuff. He's clearly upset. But the quotes that have been coming out have been weird at times. Now, he's moaned at the injuries, and I get that. But this is nothing new. You've got to expect injuries from World Cups, and you've got to expect injuries on pre-season tours. This is a normal part of football. He's moaned at, or he's publicly demanded players return early from vacation that have been pre-arranged. You're going to go this far in the World Cup, you get that far off. No, he couldn't have expected England, Belgium, France all to have United players and all be involved this deep into the competition. It's one of them. But you have to roll with it. He moaned about Valencia being out of shape and then awarded him the club captaincy. He's also kind of alluded to the youngsters that he's brought in not being good enough. What's that going to do to their confidence? The problem that I had with his attitude on the tour is that he could have come out a completely different way. He could have come out and said, congratulations to the lads for going as far as they've gone in the World Cup. I'm here with some youngsters that are going to get some valuable experience. You guys are going to see them. They're really exciting. These are the future of this club. I can't wait for you guys to see them. We're really happy and excited to watch them develop into world-class footballers. He said nothing like that. And I think this is important because his attitude is dictating a lot of what's going on with the fans. I'm not even getting into, you know, his very public passing of the buck on the transfer activity. Let's talk about the media perspective, because we know that is an agenda against Jose. We know it is an agenda against Manchester United. They're deliberately leaving out context in some of the quotes, like not including some of the praise that he has said of players, only the criticisms. But Jose doesn't do himself any favours. Now, Pep Guardiola moans every bit as much as the way Jose Mourinho moans. But he does it in like a sarcastic way, and he'll do it on the back of some praise, or he'll do it with a smile. Or he won't say it directly the way Jose is coming out and saying it in a press conference. They're upset, or he's upset, that they've not managed to bring in Jorginho. But he's not said that in a press conference. He's leaked that out through the contacts that he's got in the media. So you know Pep is fuming as well. But when he comes out in front of the press, when he knows all those cameras are on him, he sits there and he smiles and he says great things about youngsters that we know aren't going to be in City's first team next season. But Jose's the complete opposite, and some of those youngsters might be in our first team next season. Pep's using the press. He's using them to say positive things in the press conferences, and then he's leaking it when he's unhappy. Now, why can't Jose do that? It would change the feeling. Now, it might not change the press agenda, but it would change elements of the feeling. What's the reality of what's going on? What is the truth of what is going on at the club? And what's my opinion on it? There's two things that I think could be happening. One of those things, it might be percentages of either. Now, I think Jose's lowering expectation. There's not one of us here now, me or you guys, that think United are going to start this season and go 10 out of 10. Not one of us. I've seen people saying we're going to struggle for top six. I've seen people saying we're going to lose that first game. I'm seeing all sorts of stuff. Nobody is expecting United to come out the gate and start swinging, put down our first 10 opponents, blow City away, smack Liverpool about, and go on our way to the 21st title. Not one person's thinking that. So is Jose lowering the expectation because he doesn't think that this squad can compete? Does he think that we've been overtaken by Liverpool? Does he think that we can't catch Manchester City? Or is he doing it to try and be the underdog, to try and be the surprise package? I don't know. I'm just asking these questions of you guys and just seeing what comes up with them. The other thing that could be happening, which is what some people in and out of the club think could be happening, is Jose's manufacturing his way out of the club. But that doesn't make a lot of sense to me neither, because he only signed a new deal in January. And yes, Ruud Faria has moved on. Why didn't Jose walk at the same time? If that was going to be such of an issue for him working without Faria, why not move on at the same time as Ruud did? His promotion of McKenna and Michael Carrick don't look as short-term appointments for me. They look at long-term appointments. They're potentially very astute appointments. Someone like Michael Carrick has got a lot to learn. If you're Jose and you're trying to get sacked, there's going to be work involved with you bringing Michael Carrick up to speed in what's going on in the first team. You wouldn't bother. You'd just go and get someone who's just been made out of work somewhere that's got 10, 15, 20 years experience like yourself. So you won't have to tell them what's what. You just bring them in and they shut up, and then you both get sacked and it's both happy days. So his appointment of McKenna and Carrick to me doesn't smack of short-termism. That actually smacks of long-term planning. I can't work it out. I really can't work it out.